Current events of 2008, the year of our Lord, all right? And it is His year. And we thank Him for that. You know how I can safely say this is His year? Because every year is His year. He's in charge, He's in control, and we follow, we serve. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 1. That happens to be the first book in the Bible. All you got to do is open her up, go past the index, and wham, chapter 1, you're there. I want to pick it up with verse 14. And the Lord said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night." What was the purpose? To divide the day from the night. Okay. "And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So there we have God's time clock in the heavens. There we have these lights that gives us the solar system, which is exact, you know. You can figure your months and days and years by moons and what have you, but the solar is accurate, year in, year out. And He told you these are for signs. And they're, you know, for harvest, for your own life. Not to make a religion out of it, but to pay attention. God speaks in many, many ways. His wonders never cease. Verse 15. "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. It happened. It did. They're there. Okay. "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and He placed them just where they are." I'm amazed and with wonder when God spoke to Job on that 38th chapter when He said, "Job, get up from there. Gird yourself and stand up and act like a man. You think you're something. Where were you when I placed the stars in their compass where they are? I did that. Who are you?" Job loved the Father. But the main thing Father said to Job is, "What do you want to listen to an idiot for when you got me?" And that's why you want to treasure this word. That's why you want to treasure His direction rather than listening to some ratchet jaw. You want to listen to Him. So there those lights were placed there, the stars also. 17, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good." He always does. Everything He does is good. There's a good reason for it. "And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now, when we look at those lights at this time, we've had an awesome thing happening in this past through December and still going on right now. Okay. The seven largest planets, the fourth from the sun, has been so bright, 1.6 in December. 1.6, I don't know if that means anything to you, that's bright. Okay, that's really, I mean, she just glistens up there. And at the same time, on December the 18th, she was the brightest and the closest to Earth. On December the 24th, she was just exactly opposite of the sun. We call her Mars. It's a war planet. Now, we're at war, but we're not, I mean, you can still every night, and usually when I go out and feed my deer early in the morning, it's still up there, just glistening. So we have to take that as a sign and at least think about it. And what was Mars? Mars considered the war, was that mythology? Yes, it was, but mythology usually comes from true teachings, always. A copy, a little rough, but so there you have it. Both by the Romans and the Greeks was it considered so. And I thought about what could this mean to us today? When Yep, we're at war. We've got a bunch of rabble rousers that are terrorists. Even got the barrel down so low now, they're sending women out, which is against their own religion, to take care of men's work. And that's no slam against women. That's just the way those people think, okay? It's a disgrace to them to do that, and they're doing it. So things not real good for them. So there has to be more to it. So I got to thinking about, well, where did Paul, what happened when he went to Mars Hill? Now we're getting somewhere. When you look around you today, you can always go to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 4, where he says, hey, in the end times, you're going to have babes ruling over you in politics. They're going to be so childish. You got some good people, but mostly babes. I mean, they don't care anything about the American people or God's children, Christians. They care about what's in it for them. And so it goes on. And I thought about Mars Hill. I want to take you there. Acts chapter 17. Let's go there. And Paul was waiting here for Timothy and Silas. Where he got shipped out of there. It got a little hot back home, and he went to Athens. And he was waiting. He said, send Paul and Silas to me. Send Timothy and Silas to me right away. But while he was waiting, pick it up, Acts chapter 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friends. Idolatry comes in many forms. It even comes in the form of religion, if it's false religion. If it's somebody saying God said this and God said that and God didn't say it. Okay, that's why you want to always stick to the Word of God. It's that important. His Word will never let you down. But when you look around you today, and you hear Christianity mocked, even in elections, and all Christians called evangelicals. Little remarks like deterring and downgrading Christianity, you know, where it has no place. You know, this is kind of a strange thing when you figure that about 80% of Americans are Christian. Somebody's cruising for a bruising, okay. And this is not going to be as popular as some might think. But when you look around you today, and you see the confusion, you can kind of understand how Paul felt that day. Where, I mean, while he was waiting there at Athens, he couldn't find one place that really stuck to God's Word. Not one. Verse 17, therefore disputed or reasoned he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. These were devout people, supposed to be good citizens, okay? Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, what will this babbler say? That's a nice introduction. What will this babbler say? Others, some, he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods. Do you know that our Heavenly Father would be strange to a lot of people today? The real truth would be very strange to a lot of people today. Because he preaches unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Now, the Epicureans, they believed that the practical guide to happiness was true pleasure. And that was it. Okay, that's and boy, their pleasure could steep into many things. And The Stoics, their name came from the Greek porch, stoa, which their leader that founded the Stoics would teach from this porch to them. And his was that the supreme good overrules all, and that you're to ignore pleasure and pain. You know, you just serve. But yet, and they believed in a creator, but they not a, as an entity. Okay, so all my definition would be good old country language. They're all messed up. Okay, they don't know. Come here from Sikkim. Okay. That's just to put it mildly. Verse 19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus. That's Mars, okay? That's the Greek word for Mars Hill. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. Always curious, always looking for something new. So what's new under the sun? There's nothing new under the sun. Any Bible scholar knows there's nothing new under the sun. It may be new to you, but it's written right here for you to discover, for you to absorb. Verse 20, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. We want to hear more about this. They were open-minded to anything. All comers, bring it on, one and all. Okay. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. That's the way they were. Idleness brings trouble. You know that, don't you? And unfortunately, sometimes that's what happens in this world. People just they're not busy enough taking care of business, that their minds listen to soothsayers. And some of those soothsayers speak from pulpits. If they do not teach God's Word chapter by chapter, then you're not studying God's Word. You're listening to some man. Now, I'm not knocking evangelists or people that draw new people into truth, but once you get into the truth, you study God's Word. Don't you ever pull away from it. It's your strength. It's what carries you through. He's the one that blesses you and your family. 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill. And he said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. This means too religious. You're religious for this and religious for that. We get a new religion every once in a while, a laughing religion, a crying religion, a standing up religion, and a sitting down religion. Okay, a run and hopping religion, and then a solemn religion. Okay. But what about the Word of God? Where does it fit into this, and what does He tell us? Okay. Verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I was watching you, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him declare I unto you. That sign you got there, to the unknown God, I mean, they covered all bases. They didn't want to miss anything, okay? They got the horse God, the dog God, and this God, and that God, and the unknown God. Okay, cover all bases. God doesn't operate that way. There's only one. That's our Father. It's an insult to Him to have someone come in and say, well, God talked to me and told me to say this, or God sent me there, or God, and He didn't. That's dangerous stuff. I wouldn't want to be in the person's shoes that practiced that. You know, Jesus made it very clear in the book of Mark, in the 13th chapter. He said, behold, I have foretold you all things. Where? In His Word. Now, the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you, but the Holy Spirit will never give you anything that isn't written in this Word. That's your documentation as to whether it's the Holy Spirit or some other spirit. You want to pay real close attention. As Father leads, and as Father guides, and as Father directs. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, that means everywhere, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You can't culture Him. You can't prepare Him this, that, or the other. He doesn't need it. He created the very bricks that you build buildings with. They're His.
Okay.
Neither is worshipped or served with man's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things. God strengthens us and blesses us. And then every once in a while you have somebody come along that thinks God can't get along without them, that they're the only ones. You know? He sent the Word to everyone. I don't care what title you have outside a building or anything else, there's only one Word. It's the Word of God. You want to stick with it. You want to hold it dear and follow it. Then you have God's blessings in your family, your life. Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation. You know, this is a mistranslated verse. Okay. There isn't a child that couldn't correct it if they just simply stopped and thought a minute. I will ask it in this way. God made of one blood all nations of men. What does it say back in Genesis chapter 1 that God formed man from? Did it say blood? No, it didn't at all. So this word is clay. He made from clay all men, from the dust of the earth. Okay. This confuses a lot of people because they say, well, everybody's just alike. Well, they're not. Okay, and that's fine. We are the way God created us. God liked it. He looked. It was good. So be it. Okay. That's it. End of subject. God created everyone the way He wanted them. Okay. That they should seek the Lord if haply they might feel after Him and find Him. Though He be not far from every one of us. He isn't. All you have to do is believe and reach out. And do you know what He wants from you? That's most important. He wants your love. If you tell Him, I love you, Father, He's going to bless you. He's going to caress you. He's going to come to you. But you've got to be honest. You've got to be with Him. And so it is. 28, for in Him we live. You understand that? In Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of our own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. It's a family. And you've got to treat Him as family. He's your Father. Okay. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art at man's device. No. God created man in His image and the angels. Elohim. That's plural. God and the angels. Okay. He created us. Man. And we look like Him. Why? Because we are of them. It's family. That's the way it is. And He's not some stone and He's not some brick. He has feelings. He has emotions. And you can hurt His feelings. You can hurt His feelings real bad if you kind of sometimes get vain and think you're something you're not. Okay. It's wonderful and a precious thing to be a child of God, humbly, before Him. That means willing to serve Him. But don't ever think you're something special. That'll get you in trouble. That gets a lot of ministries in trouble. Because we're all God's children. Okay, you understand? We're all family. And a family that loves its family treats all family the same. As far as ego trips are concerned. And here we be of that family. And God Himself gives us our strength and our power. So here he was on Mars Hill looking around. And he said, you don't know, you're so religious that all you do, you got churches everywhere and signs everywhere. But you don't know anything. You're so far away from the truth. And that's why you never want to drift away from God's Word. You know, I could not help but think of Ezekiel chapter 13 when I was thinking of Mars Hill. I want to go there. We'll spend the rest of this lecture in Ezekiel 13. Because here, God tells us what He thinks about it. God lets us know how He feels about it. And there's one thing about our Father. He isn't shy. If you will listen, He'll talk to you. By that I mean through the Word especially. He'll let you know how He feels about something. And He doesn't make any bones about it. Ezekiel chapter 13, straight from Mars Hill, straight from the sign of the times. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. God didn't send them. Listen to me. If somebody comes along and tells you today they're a prophet, they're a liar. Okay. Why? Because God sent us all the prophets. And again, I'll fall back on what Jesus said in Mark 13. I have foretold you all things. Now, you have teachers of the prophets. That's to say, teachers that can explain what the prophets meant by going chapter by chapter, verse by verse. But you don't have any prophets today other than the prophets God has given us. Okay? And anyone that claims to be is just, I mean, they're begging for a one-way ticket. And it's not to a good place. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, not the Holy Spirit, their own spirit, and have seen nothing. They just like to dream stuff up. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the desert. There's a great deal said there. If you're a student of God's Word, you know that that takes you to the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. What are the little foxes doing in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15? When you're trying to tend the grapes on the vine and they're just now blossoming, the little foxes hit the vines and jar loose the little tender blossoms, and down they come crashing. Those foxes are symbolic of the Kenites. Okay. You got to be wise enough to know who tries to shake the vine, who tries to lead astray, and know what the prime root of it is. That's wisdom. What a subtle way to bring that in. You would have to know the greatest love story ever told, the Song of Solomon, to truly understand that. Verse 5. Ye have not gone up into the gaps. No, you've let the fences run down. The fences of what? Truth. You've let holes come into it where bad stuff slips in. Neither made up the hedge of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming, beloved. It's a lot closer than many might even think or dream or imagine. And you better keep that hedge, that gap, closed in your mind as to what is truth and what is fiction, because Antichrist wants to have all that he can muster and pull away all that he can. And false teaching is the way he gets there. Okay. And they have seen vanity. Do you know what vanity means? Nothing. Emptiness. And lying divination, saying, the Lord saith, and the Lord hath not sent them. And they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. I mean, what does it mean? Well, read it. You know, a child can read and understand the Word of God if they'll just listen to it rather than traditions of men. Our father didn't keep any secrets from his own family. Okay. Have you not seen a vain vision, and have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith it, albeit I have not spoken. The Lord says, you dream up some of these divine interventions and claim there is a divine intervention. I didn't say it. I wasn't there. It's a figment of your imagination. He gets right down where the root kind of grows into the soil. I mean, that's the root of the matter. Therefore, thus, verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye have spoken vanity, nothingness, and seen lies, therefore behold, I am against you, saith the Lord God. Listen, if the Lord is against you, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. He's the only strength you've got, and if he's against you, I feel sorry for you. But you know something? You always bring it on yourself, because he does love you. He wants you to follow his word. He wants you to return that love and receive his blessings. And if you think he can't make a difference, go out and look up at Mars tonight. Take a good long look at her. The Lord loves you. The Lord warns us. And mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Not going to be there. Neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. He runs a pretty tight ship, friend. But it's so loving. It's so easy. All you got to do is listen to him instead of man. It's that simple. Well, is it wrong then to listen to men? No, that's fine. But you have a mind. Use it. If some man is saying things that aren't documented, he's a liar. Okay? God didn't send him. But if man that is teaching chapter by chapter and verse by verse and what is written comes to pass, it has God's blessings. It's going to be fine. And God will let it grow. And God will culture it. Whereby it reaches minds and helps his children. Why? We're a family. God cares about family. God loves his family. Do you know something? It angers him for people to see vanity and mislead his children. You know, it isn't hard for you to understand. How would you feel if somebody came in and just ripped one of your children off big time and told the child that you're a nothing? You know, that they've misraised you. You know, that's the way our father feels about it. So if you think he's going to let them get away with it, you're mistaken. He's hurt. And the Lord's day is coming. And those that teach falsely, that do not adhere to God's word, are setting themselves up for one heap of hurt. Okay? And what do they do? Verse 10. Because they have seduced my people, deceived them, saying, peace, and there was no peace. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. In other words, they whitewashed it. Where you're saved, you can have peace of mind, you can be happy, you're saved forevermore. Just say you love him. Now, that's fine. You should say you love him. But that doesn't even scratch the surface. You got to get into your Father's word. You got to know the enemy. Or the enemy is going to deceive you. The enemy will defeat you. I would dare say when Satan tempted Christ in the wilderness with Scripture, there are very few Christians that could match him in the Bible. Very few Christians could match Satan Scripture-wise. They wouldn't know if he was lying to them or telling the truth, quoting Scripture. But just because somebody quotes, if it isn't properly translated or read, that twists it. And that's exactly what Satan is perfect at. Giving you the real truth up until about 5%, and then whoom, twisted it right into a lie. Okay, that's what he did to Jesus on the mount in the wilderness. So be careful, my friend. God doesn't like it, but they daub it and whitewash it and say, isn't it beautiful? It's wonderful. You got peace. You don't even have to read God's word because you're going to be gone. You're not going to be here. That's not what the Bible says. Okay. That's not what God's word says at all. So be careful, my friend. And so when they whitewash it with untempered mortar, you know what happens to whitewash when it rains? It's gone. Okay, it's a very temporary thing. A lot of poor people used it in the South and the Depression, you know, to make things look good. But boy, when it rained, the lawn got a good color, coat of white. Okay. It doesn't last, in other words, okay? Say, verse 11, say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. There's going to be a storm. Our Father's not happy. That is the Lord's day. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Where's your religion? Let it save you if it's so strong. Let it lead you and guide you. God said, you turned your back on me. Don't turn back to me now. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury. And there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that you have daubed with untempered mortar. False religion is going down. And bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered. And it shall fall and you shall be consumed in the midst thereof. And you shall know that I am the Lord. You want to listen to him. Because those that, when that wall comes down, if they're a part of it, and it gets all the way to the ground, the simplicity in which he has taught you to stay away from it is going to be obvious. That's what he's talking about. The fact that you were lied to and misled will become so obvious he won't even have to teach you. That wall of religion is gone. It didn't hold up. Okay. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. That's pretty serious stuff, beloved. Our Father is very unhappy with people that mislead his children. You would be if somebody misled yours. You can understand that. He has a right to be unhappy about it. To wit, the prophets of Israel which prophesy concerning Jerusalem and which see visions of peace for her, and there is no peace, saith the Lord God. Listen carefully. Here it comes. Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people which prophesy out of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them. The daughters of Jerusalem brings you to a time fix, to the end times. The daughters that are supposed to be a part of the wedding feast. The marriage. Okay. Verse 18. And say, thus saith the Lord God, woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes and make kerchiefs upon the head of every stature, that's tall, important man, to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? In other words, what God is saying here in the Hebrew, and it loses just a little, you sew covers that cover over my outreaching arms of salvation and promise them something different. What do they promise them? What do these false religionists promise them if they cover over the saving arms of Almighty God? Well, God's going to tell you. Verse 19. And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die and to save the souls alive that should not live by your lying to my people that hear your lies? You do it for money is what he's saying. You're in it for the money, not for serving me, not for following me. But what is it that these people are lying about? Verse 20. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against. You got it? I am against your pillows wherewith ye there hunt the souls to make them fly. Want to rapture out? And I will tear them from your arms and will let the souls go, even the souls that you hunt to make them fly. In other words, God tells us to put on the gospel armor and stand against the fiery darts of Satan. Why? God can protect us. We don't need to fly away. It isn't written that we'll fly away. It is written that we'll join Christ after the seventh trump, but we've got to live through the sixth trump. Okay. And he expects us to serve him through that sixth trump. And people that have listened to this doctrine that feel they're not going to be here, good people, love them to pieces, but they're misled. It's not going to happen. You would think that when God says, I'm against something, that would deliver a message. Do people not care about the feelings of our Father? But he's against it. And yet they pour it on. I mean, whole parties over it. Sing songs about it. Celebrate it. It's kind of sad. It's real sad when they wake up and realize God's against it. And they're not, back in verse 9, this word assembly is secret. They're never going to come into the secrets of God, which are not all that secret. He advertises them. His secret counsel, whereby he talks to you through the Holy Spirit. If you're way off out in boom boom land, he's not going to talk to you. That's what he's telling you. If you really want to be in part of that counsel, you will be in that assembly of verse 9. Verse 21, your kerchiefs also will I tear and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall be no more in your hand to be hunted, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because you with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. God wouldn't do that to his children. Okay. And strengthen the hands of the wicked that he should not return from his wicked way by promising him life. Salvation. Wonderful. Isn't it true? Put on some more whitewash. Therefore ye shall no more vanity, emptiness, nor divine divinations, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Do you know what delivers you, beloved? Is truth. Truth is God's word, for Father is the truth. We live in a time when deception is rampant. I mean, people are, if you were to listen to this commentator and that commentator without having the anchor of truth, you could grow quite confused. But you have one God, one Father, and you're part of that family, and he's there for you. And he does give us signs. And he gives us direction. He gives us an anchor, and that anchor is Christ, a rock that you can stand on and never be moved. You never have to make an apology because you are solid on that rock. And he loves you. You know, it is real sad that in the year 1832, this false teaching came into being, and it happened in Europe. And there were two preachers standing by when this poor girl brought forth the any moment doctrine. Oh man, they grabbed on. You know how preachers are? They grabbed onto that and they ran with it, and they, ooh, wait till you read our next newsletter. Woo! You know, new religion. There's nothing new under the sun. Our Father is the same yesterday. Our Father is the same today, and He will be forever. When I say there is nothing new under the sun, that does not take away one iota of the joy and the happiness that we have in Him every day. That day that was, this one that is now, and you're going to be with Him forever. All joyous. Nothing new under the sun. Our Father created all of it. And you're a part of it. You're in that assembly. And He loves you. He loves His children. Father, we thank You, Father, for the written Word. Thank You, Father, for sharing truth with us. Thank You, Father, for the signs and the wonders of these end times. The Lord's Day coming, help us prepare. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our